We're doing Maase Shimshon, and we had read through the fifth section with Shimshon talking to Mait, and we'll quickly run through the beginning. Yafav Anashim, O most beautiful of women, and we discussed the reference there. That's a term for Am Yisrael, the people of Israel. Interesting that he's going for a Philistine woman calling her most beautiful of women. Ech Lavo Mihaut, how swiftly you came, which is another word, the word mihart, we discussed where that appears in Tanakh. Ech batzarat ali bat leezrata. How now in this time, when I was in danger, you came to assist me, and we discussed the verses of Hashem batzarat ali, the chapter in Psalms, where King David discusses how God stood by him in times of need. Yitamech minin Hashem bol baruch. Your reasoning should be blessed from the women among the tent. We discussed that this is a double play on words. Tamech baruch, blessed is your reasoning, is the terminology that King David used for Abigail. And we discussed the differences between Abigail and her. And minashim ba'ohel tivorach is the blessing that's said in the song about Yael. Yael, who went and seduced Sisera in order to maintain a victory for Israel against the forces of Yavin, the king of Chatzor. Uvrucha at, again, this is a quote from the verses about Abigail, the verses about Abigail. Ki hoshatani miben shinei kfir shoeg minegen. You saved me from between the teeth of this young lion who's roaring against me. Again, here there's what to be discussed about miben shinei, but we skipped there. Hine ata akum, which is again a verse that describes Ata Akum Yomar Hashem. That's a verse. Just a second, sorry. Ata Akum is a verse in Isaiah. Maybe we should open to that verse. This is, I think, where we were up to. Hine Ata Akum. Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33:10. Samson says, I will now arise and I will tear him like tearing a goat. So let's see that verse in Isaiah 33:10. So let's go back to the sixth verse, okay? God is saying to the people of Israel, "V'haya emunat itecha." The faith of your time will be chosen yeshuot, the strength of salvation, and it will be chokhmah v'dat, knowledge and understanding. You'll understand the order of how Hashem is taking care of things, and then that will be great strength to you. Our sages say, "V'haya emunat itecha." Our sages say corresponds to the orders of Shas. Yes? You guys know what I'm talking about? Munat. Okay, so the Gemara says, take a look at Samson's speech. Go down and see, he uses the word chosen, meaning he's about to, if you read quickly through this chapter and then compare it to Samson's speech, you'll see there's a play on words here. The Talmud says in Tractate Shabbos, "Vaya on this verse, Vaya munat itecha, emunat faith." That's talking about the order of planting. That's right. Itecha, that's talking about the times of Moed, the holidays. Chosen, strength. That's talking about the order of women. Strength. The word strength in that verse corresponds to the order of women, the marriage, divorce, the obligations, the ksuba yevamos. Now let's look at Samson's speech for a second. Samson says, "Hine ata akum." He's taking that verse from that same chapter of Isaiah. I will now arise. I will ashaseu kishasagdi. I'll cut him up like tearing apart a goat. You've given me this gift of having might in my arm. Run away from me, fear. Tilbashna chosen. You see how he grabbed that word? Where? What does the word chosen mean? In this chapter in Isaiah, it's the strength. It's the strength of nashim, the strength of the order of women. So Ramchal sticks it in right over here. My arms should wear chosen. We have many words for strength, but he purposely chooses that one. I think you can't ignore the allusion here. So we continue. Continue here. Hein Elim, the angels. Tzaku chutza malachei shalom mar yivkayun. The angels of peace will cry bitterly. Our sages say, when a person has an improper marriage, even the temple weeps. Even the altar weeps. When a person divorces his wife, this is the concluding lines of Tractate Gittin, the tractate that discusses divorce, discusses that when a person gets divorced, even the altar sheds tears. So we go back to our verses. The angels wail. The angels of peace weep bitterly. Nashamu misilot, shavat over orach, hefer brit. They have gone against the covenant. Ma'asarim lo chashav enosh. I'm rushing forward. God says, atakum, says God. Now I will arise. Now we look back, that's Samson's line, atakum. Now I will arise, right? Now I'm going to arise against the line, but the words atakum, this is where they show up in Isaiah. God says, they've been punished, so then now I could stand up and protect them. That's the wording of the verse in Isaiah. Over here, I don't know what Ramchal was alluding to when he discusses, now I will arise. Now I will arise is a reference to God saying, the Jews have suffered enough, it's time for me to arise on their behalf. So maybe he's alluding to this idea that the Jews have suffered enough, and now Samson says, I'm going to arise on their behalf.
Okay. Well, he's also asking for strength. This is the first time that he's asking God for superhuman strength to do something.
Yafeh, I hear. Very nice. I don't know if there's a play on words when Shimshon speaks about Zroa Uzi La'asot Chayil, the arm of my might to do valor. We know where the word Chayil appears. Chayil usually is a reference to people who have valor, who have integrity, who have tremendous inner fortitude. It's about the value of the human being, not the external strength. But this is the game that Ramchal keeps playing, showing us how the concepts that should be spiritual are being applied to the physical, starting with the might, with the extraordinary strength. So the chosen we discussed. The word zrootai, my arms should have chosen, strength together. The only place the word zrootai appears in Tanakh is as a reference to King David. Let's open to Psalms 18. Tehillim Yud Ches. Ramchal takes a word that appears only once in the Tanakh. Tehillim Yud Ches. Lamnatzeach le'eved Hashem le'David. This song King David wrote when he felt he had finished all his wars, all his enemies, even Saul. And he says, I love you, Hashem, because Pasuk Gimel, Hashem sal'i umtzudati umefalti. God, you are my rock, you are my fortification, you are my city of refuge. Eli tzuriach sebo, I take coverage in you, Hashem, my rock. Magini, you are my shield, you are my salvation. What's the stress? As successful as I've been with my military campaigns, I know it's all from you. Every fear I've had to contend with, at the end of the day, it's you. we'll jump forward. He has a description of how awesome God is. And then he describes how Hashem saves him from any enemy that arises upon him. They try to catch him on his weekdays, and Hashem saves him. Yigmeleni Hashem kitzidki, pasuk chaf aleph. Hashem should pay me back according to my righteousness. He describes how it's all the strength that Hashem gives him, and that's why he has success. Hakel, I'm skipping to 33. Hamazreni chayil, Hashem who gives me strength. Vayten tamim darki, and teaches me a honest whole path. Mishaver aglai kayalot, he gives my feet strength like rams to run. Val bamotai amideni, he stands me up on platforms. Melamed yaday lamilchama, teaches my arms to go to war. Venichata keshet nechusha, zerootai. So the word zerootai, this is the only place it appears in Tanakh. Hashem teaches my arms to pull apart a bow that's made of solid copper. It says that King David had bows where in place of a string, he would have a copper running across the bow. And when he'd have guests, so the kings of the other nations would look at those bows and they'd say, he's just doing that to show off. He's doing that to scare us. He can't really draw a copper string. If that thing is solid copper, there's no way he could draw that. So King David said, watch. And he'd take it off the wall and show them how he can draw a copper string. Like it was solid copper. And he'd use that as the string of his bow. So that was, that's nichata keshet nechusha zrotai. My arm could take apart to a bow that's made of copper. What is Samson doing? He's taking apart two things, right? And again, over here, he's going to use it going against the nations. David HaMelech, when he took apart that copper bow, was also doing it to show the nations, to scare the nations. So the words that Ramchal chose, again, fit perfectly. Back to the play. Ben kol chamudot tachavosh mikbat. Chen v'chavot titmo chosen v'choach. You honor, are supportive of chen v'chavod. Chen v'chavod. Where do we have that? Chen v'chavod. So the words chen v'chavod are in Psalms 84. And perhaps Ramchal is alluding to the idea that Shimshon will say in Psalms 84, King David discusses what is one's true home. If we look at Psalms 84, King David says, how great is it to be in your home, Hashem? My soul yearns to be close to you, Hashem. My soul sings before you. Even a bird sets up its home. Hashem, praised are those that live in your home. Praised is he whose strength stems from you. People who go from strength to strength, but ultimately where are they headed? To Hashem's home. How do we view the home? The home is a resting place for Hashem. The home is a resting place for the Shekhinah. What kind of home is Shimshon building with this girl? So if you look in the chapter that Ramchal is quoting here, King David says in verse 11, he says, I'd rather spend a day in your home, Hashem, rather than living in the tent of the wicked. And now look at verse 12. Ki shemesh umagein Hashem Elokim. Shemesh, this is one of the verses where the word shemesh means fortification. Hashem is the fortification and the shield. Chein v'chavod yiten Hashem. Hashem is the one that grants charm and honor. Many people think they'll find it in their wives, in the relationship they'll build. And Shimshon over here is running after this girl, assuming, I'm going to get it. Shimshon says, charm and honor come from strength. Which strength? Taking down a lion? So Ramchal sticks in these words that come from a verse where King David says, charm and honor come from the house of Hashem. You want to build a house, you got to build the real house. And that's the focus of this chapter. King David discusses how it's all about where you headed in your battles. You're headed to the temple. You're headed to the Holy of Holies. You're headed to a connection with Hashem. And that's where home should be headed. But that's not where Shimshon's home is headed. So maybe that's what Ramchal was alluding to. And here we'll jump forward to the final verses, the final words of Samson. He says, "Ki mize yikach migibo malkoach." He says, when you have might, who can take something away from a brave soldier? And that's a play on words from a verse in Isaiah, Isaiah 49. If we open up to Yeshaya 49. Got to go back to prophets. Yeshaya 49. You guys have it? Isaiah 49. The verse says that Hayukach migibo malkoach, the same words that Samson said. Can anyone take something away from a brave warrior? If a brave warrior has loot, can anyone take it from him? Im shavit tzadik imalet. Can a person take away the captives that the righteous one, Yaakov Avinu, the righteous one captured? So says Hashem. Yes. Ki cho amar Hashem gam shavi gibo yulkach umalkoach haritz imalet. God says, I'm the one who fights for my children, and I can take things even from the mighty, and I can take things from anyone who takes things improperly. Samson concludes his speech by saying, who can take something away from a mighty warrior? Really, he's about to find out with all his might. His wife is going to be taken. Everything he has is going to be taken. So there's this play on words where Samson is having his speech about might, and he concludes the speech by saying, can anyone take something from someone so mighty? That verse, Hayukach migibo malkoach, is actually a verse where God says, yes, I can. Yes, I can take something away from the mighty. So Samson's final sentence is that sentence from Isaiah. Now we're on to the sixth section. Samson comes down and he meets with this girl and he's so excited. I want you guys to pay close attention to what he's saying, because chances are when you're going to have your engagement speech to your kala and you think this is the one, we're getting engaged, you're going to say things that are similar. Or at least you're going to think things that are similar.
I'm going to copy this word for word.
So, I hope not the end, right? So Shimshon says, Imri Rayati, say my beloved, do you desire that I plant within you my trusted tent? Your love to me is better beyond what one can research. I give forth to you all of my love. Okay, so I would not recommend you speak this way when you get engaged. You could speak this way the rest of your life. But what does she answer him? Ken Adoni, yes, my master. Interesting relationship. Ata shalom boecha, come in peace. Asul mishmatecha, I will turn to be one of your faithful soldiers. I am here to do as you please. Im bichafatzti, if you desire me, kein bechachafatzti, then I too desire you. Oh, what a response. Give this to the girl before you offer her a right engagement. This is what I'm waiting to hear, right? You might see her make it into a paper airplane. And shoo. And then they both come to the conclusion this is right, and they both say, Matov chelki hayom umana'ema. How good is my portion today, how pleasant. Chevli, Samson says about her, my portion, yefat mar'eh, my lot is so beautiful, af sarat tam. Now the word sarat tam appears in the book of Proverbs. Ramchal over here switched one letter. The word in Proverbs is saratam with a samach. He makes it saratam with the sin. Saratam with the sin means master of reasoning. Saratam with a samach means lacking all reasoning. And we're going to see the verse that Ramchal is making a play on words here. So Samson says about her, well, how great is my portion? She is the master of reasoning. And she says about him, Chevli yafe mare, oh, my My lot is so beautiful. Afish sartam. He is a man who is master of reasoning. Kenach et Hashem odeh hapam. Oh, so I give thanks to Hashem this time. I think that the next speech we'll leave for next time because there's so much to discuss here. So before we look at the verses, the ideas that Ramchal is expressing here are phenomenal in their own right. Before we look at the allusions, what does Shimshon say to her? Do you desire that I plant my trusted tent in you? She's going to be anything but trust, right? He's going to be away. The first week they're married, she's going to give away his secrets. And then she's going to go with his friends. She's going to marry someone else. Do you desire that I plant in you my trusted tent? Not the way I would recommend you offer engagement. But in Shimshon's mind, and in many people's minds, that's really what's happening. Meaning, I'm taking you to be the home that I want to build. The word ohel has dual meaning. Ohel could mean that which gives off light. Ohel could mean a tent. Hine tovim dodayich, your love is so good. How does he know? How long a relationship do they have? But this is the infatuation with which a guy walks into marriage. You've dated, and it's been a lot of fun, and you imagine that married life is only going to be better. And everyone deceives themselves about all the hardships that married life brings with it. It's true that married life is better, but it's also much harder. I will sacrifice all my love before you. And this is one of Shimshon's mistakes. You can't marry someone who you intend to sacrifice everything you love for. Really? No more parents? No more people? No more Torah? No more God? Whatever she wants? In my love, I will sacrifice everything else I love? We should have synthesis. Together, we should have shared aspirations. So, you have a guy who says, I love Einstein. And the girl says, don't talk to me about Einstein. He had Rabbi Akiva Eiger. His wife was illiterate. So, he's the chief posek of all of Europe. And his wife can't read a book. So, they shared other things in life. Fine. But it wasn't that he was taking his passions and sacrificing them for her. Shimshon says, I'll sacrifice everything I love for you. Really? Who says that's good in marriage? You can sacrifice some things in marriage. You can't sacrifice everything you love. You got to build some things together. But very often when a person is taken, then they feel like, yeah, I'm willing to give up everything for her. But that's a mistake, because there's always the morning after the marriage. It's the same thing as elections. I always say, people are so into politics, but they forget that the morning after elections, you're going to have to contend with the people who are up there. And they might be the people you were against, so you got to be careful what you say about them.
I hope marriage is not like that.
Well, there is the morning after, and we have to compare the beginning of his speech with the middle of his speech. He began by saying, I want to plant my trusted tent in you. Whoa. And then he says, I will sacrifice all my love to you. Now you could say that akriva doesn't mean to sacrifice, but rather it means to bring close, from the term lekarev. I will bring everything I love close to you. And she answers him, Kain Adoni.
Yes, sir.
No, yes, master. Yes, master. Now, there's definitely a weakness where if a person hears that, he likes to believe that. You notice that she takes control of him and he doesn't take control of her. But she's willing to talk that way.
She was smart.
You see, a guy wouldn't talk that way unless he really meant to make the other guy his master. But if a guy hears a girl talk that way, so that's very exciting for him. Ata shalom bo'echa. We'll still analyze where these words are taken from. But then she says maybe the most important line in her whole speech here, and this is key in every marriage and every relationship. She says to him, Im bicha fatzta, if you desire me, Kein becha chafatzti, then I desire you. Imagine getting such an answer on your engagement. You know? You ask her, do you want to marry me? Well, if you really want to marry me, then I want to marry you.
Doesn't sound like a good answer.
Right.
It sounds like there's a little trickery to that.
Well, there's truth to that. Meaning, the wife tends to reflect what she feels she's getting from the husband. Husbands very often feel like they're going to show the wife, I don't need you. I can manage just fine without you. And that backfires, because if you show her, I can't without you, like Shimshon says to her, everything I love is sacrificed before you because you're what I want in life, then her response is going to be in kind. Kamayim apanim napanim. The verse says in Proverbs, we look into the water, we see our own reflection. That's the way people are. You look at them, they reflect what they think you're showing them. So sometimes people make this mistake when there are issues in the marriage. It's like, you know, listen here, I can manage just fine without you. That's the worst thing you can say. What she needs to hear is, I can't manage without you.
I think you're like weak. No,
you see, no, because women always know deep down inside that you have the option to walk away. By spelling it out, you're hurting the relationship. By working the other way, you're strengthening the relationship. Without saying it, that's intrinsic to the relationship. She knows full well you have that option. And as much as you'll say, I would never consider that option, I don't want that option, I couldn't live without you, you're everything in my life,
she knows
that there's another option. But she needs to hear that. And her response to Shimshon is a revelation of one of the key elements of marriage. She says, if you want me, then I want you. Very often when couples have a spat, so then the husband's waiting for the wife to apologize. Why should I apologize if she's wrong? And somehow you're going to see that if you don't take the steps towards her, she ain't going to take the steps towards you. It's going to be very hard to get her to take those steps without you taking the steps. And you'll say, but if she's wrong, why should I walk towards her? And the answer is, you want to build a relationship? That's how you build a relationship.
There's a phrase in Hebrew like, something like that.
Okay, that's also true, yeah.
It's easier for a man, I guess.
No, I think of a man, you have to man up a little bit sometimes. With women, it's different.
We'll get to that in our marriage class, but this is one of the key points.
So,
if a person can make her feel very desirable, like she is number one, this is what's, you are what's important to me in life, then I'll get the same response.
So when you say something to your girlfriend stupid, like, oh, I could leave you anytime, you're in reality just putting that idea in her head.
Right.
Okay, interesting to know. I say that to my girlfriend a lot.
Matov chelki hayom umana'ema. How good is my lot today? And we can't ignore that Ramchal again puts in the words matov, like we discussed a few weeks ago. Matovu alecha Yaakov. Matov is a term that's reserved for the tents of Jacob and the modesty of Jacob, and he's throwing it at the Timnite. Chevli yifat mar'eh. My lot is so beautiful. That's what's important. Afsaratam, and even intelligent. Ah, okay. Chevli yifat mar'eh. Now, we'll end with this point. The conclusion is, Ach et Hashem odeh hapam. I will give thanks to Hashem this time. Where is that from? That's from the Torah reading 2 weeks ago. Leah says, Apam odeh et Hashem. This time I will give thanks to Hashem. When she feels like she got beyond what she deserves. In Yehuda. So, in marriage, everyone likes to feel like they got beyond what they deserve. Everyone likes to feel like they're a winner. I got more than anyone else. And Chazal tell us, even in the relationship of Avram and Sarah, the Talmud tells us in Tractate Baba Metzia, the angels are coming to visit this couple. They've been together half a century, more than half a century, Avram and Sarah. Right? They've been together almost a century now. And the angels come to them and say, where is Sarah? So the Talmud says, what were they asking? They knew full well where Sarah was. They wanted Avram to have the feeling like, we've been traveling, and wherever we go, the woman's outside sitting with all the guys. Where's your extraordinarily modest wife who isn't doing that to make Avram feel like, my wife really is extraordinary? And then, the Talmud says, he will love her more. Meaning, even in a relationship that's a century old, when a person feels like this is extraordinary, when a person feels like this is extraordinary, at that time, a person gets more excited, even over an old relationship. So that line, "Et Hashem Odeh Apam," this time I give thanks to Hashem. This time I've gotten more than anyone else. That's the feeling everyone wants to have in marriage. If you're going to put down your spouse, and if you're going to start thinking she's such a loser, he's such a loser, you're developing a thought which is destructive to the marriage. Because in order for it to work, you have to feel like this person is exceptional. And that's a thought we can develop, just like the angels come to help Avram develop it. So this line that Ramchal puts in her mouth in the very beginning of the relationship, that's a key line for all of marriage. And next time, Bezrat Hashem, we have to go through this chapter with the depth of where he's quoting these verses from.